Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to today's Caffeine for the Soul. Today I wanted to share a story that first actually came up in a client session a number of years ago when a client reported to me that he'd had an issue biting his nails that had spontaneously cleared up due to our conversation during the previous session. And it started life as my attempt to explain to him how something that had been a lifelong pattern could change without any effort or technique. Since that time, the dragon story has appeared in one of my books, The Space Within, and as part of a video and animation that's been seen by tens of thousands of people around the world. Since that time, people have told me on numerous occasions how they got an insight listening to this story, or they got an insight later and then remembered the story, into how some of their own kind of most self-destructive seeming habits disappeared with a lot less effort than they ever expected or imagined. Sit back, relax, and enjoy.
The Dragon Story. Imagine a world filled with terrifying, horrifying dragons. Not How to Train Your Dragon dragons that are really lovely, but malevolent dragons. And that a bite from the dragon will fill your body with a poison so toxic that you'll be so uncomfortable, and you'll twist and you'll turn, and it will manifest in all sorts of, you know, it'll start manifest. You'll become ugly and inside and out, and your insides will become twisted. And even a scratch from the dragon can infect you. Now, in a world like that, the most important skills that you would learn would be the skills of fighting and defending yourself from dragons. And so in that world, some people, now this is another way of talking about the many games of life, some people would try and defend themselves from the dragon by playing the hog in a trough game, by trying to accumulate so much money that the castle walls of money would keep out the dragons. Other people might play the cock in a dunghill game, the king of the mountain, and they might try and get so famous, to be loved a little by so many people, that the dragon couldn't possibly get into their castle. Other people might play the Moloch game, the game of power, and try and rule over others with an iron fist and be so powerful, and build the walls of their castle out of that power so that the dragon couldn't get inside. Some would play the love game and try and surround themselves, be so loved by one person or so loved by their family, the householder game, that would be their castle walls that would protect them from the dragons. Some would play the science game, some the art game, some the religion game, but all would be played in an attempt to stay safe from the dragons. Now imagine that you were unsuccessful, because most people lose games. That's the nature of games, right? It's what makes games fun, is that you can lose as well as win. Otherwise, it's not much of a game. Well, people who see that they're never going to win the wealth game, the fame game, the glory game, the power game, the love game, or they think they never will, well, they have to learn instead, how do I deal with the dragon bites? How do I deal with the dragon scratches? And they deal with it by biting their nails. They deal with it by overeating and then throwing up, or by starving themselves. They deal with it by injecting their body with drugs. They deal with it by storing drugs into their body. They deal with it by giving themselves orgasms and physical connection with anyone who doesn't hit them or does hit them. They do that in whatever way they know how. Now imagine that one day you wake up and you can see insightfully, not as a theory, but you see for yourself that there are no dragons. that what looks like the shadow of a dragon on the wall is really just the shadow of a thought. And you see all around you people running from the dragons, screaming in agony from the imagined dragon bites, building their castles to protect themselves from the dragons, and sitting inside them in worlds that get smaller and smaller and smaller in order to try and feel safer and safer and safer. Well, what would you do? Well, if you were building a castle, whatever you were building it out of, you might carry on building the castle because you like castles, but you wouldn't build it with that same kind of desperation that you had been building it before. You wouldn't be building it anymore to keep out the dragons. You'd be building it because castles are cool. If you weren't in the castle building game, you would start to see that what felt like poison inside you, what felt like dragon poison, was actually just your own unrecognized thought. And you'd start to see that, this changes. This comes and it goes. This is a transient energy. This isn't a constant. This is just shadows on the wall. Some shadows are scary, some look fun, but it's just shadows on a wall. There's no there. And when you no longer had the poison in you, you would no longer feel the need to engage in whatever behavior you'd been engaging in to mitigate the poison. When you don't drink the poison, you don't need the antidote. When you're not in a scary, mysterious discomfort that you don't know is going to go away in 5 minutes when your thinking changes, after you've had a nap, after you've eaten something, after you've gone for a walk, 10 minutes further into your work when you're just not paying attention to it anymore. Well, the behaviors will just fall away by themselves. And you'd come to see your fellow human beings and their suffering and all the frenzied activity that they're engaging in to protect themselves from and cope with imaginary dragons. And you would probably feel an incredible compassion for them. And you would probably be drawn in whatever small way it occurred to you to do whatever you knew to do to help them wake up to the fact that there are no dragons. And that's the dragon story.
I was actually sharing this story with my 15-year-old daughter, Maisie, yesterday, and she said it reminded her a little bit of the Emperor's New Clothes, and I thought that was a very apt analogy, because like the emperor in that story, we really want to believe that our problems, and it sounds so odd because why would we want our problems to be special? But at some level, it's comforting to think that the reason that we have our problems is because we're special, is because we don't work the way everyone else works. We're not afforded the same strength that everybody else has. We don't have the same resilience as everyone else has. And sometimes it just takes one person who doesn't know better to call bullshit on that and say, hey, no matter what you are going through, no matter what you have been through, you still have the infinite creative potential of the universe on your side. And what can happen with you, through you, and for you is so far beyond what you can do through your own efforts that sometimes it really all it takes is just catching a glimpse that what you've thought is so real and permanent is made of thought and by its very nature temporary and very, very changeable. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Until next time, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk to you soon.